stand.
Well, your term expires, right?
Yeah.
No, I just told you, I saw it.
You saw your letter requesting reappointment.
Yeah, I saw your letter requesting.
Oh, requesting, I thought you said it was already, oh, I misunderstood. Yeah, because that didn't make sense, okay.
We love you so much. We're gonna bypass the normal process.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Hey, well, you raised it, you raised it.
The mayor's not gonna be here, so why don't you just change, move over closer? No sense in having a gap, just, yeah, put the mayor's name guard down again. Shelley just said he's on vacation. Yeah.
So Ray, you're a Lyon County Commissioner?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations. Were you just elected 2 years ago? How long have you been serving?
Almost a year, well, a year now.
A year, oh, okay.
He worked for Indot at one time, so you were learning a little of his background.
Oh, great.
And he hadn't run into Jim, but.
Well, nice to have you with us.
Yeah, so that's good.
Well, Miss Paul, but Paul, we're already putting back to work. He's now on our planning commission. So, never a dull moment.
Oh.
He's a glutton for punishment, yeah.
Ah, okay, that I didn't know.
Right.
Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's about 4:30. Okay. The meeting of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is called to order. For those in the audience and those viewers at home, my name is Charles Desjardins, now chairman as of November 1. This is Wednesday, November 9, 2011, and it's 4:31. And we're holding our meeting in the community center, the Sierra Room, at 851 East William Street in Carson City. The Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or P. Pittenger, and that's P-I-T-T-E-N-G-E-R, at carson.org, or call Mr. Pittenger at 887-2355 as soon as possible. And then this would mean for the December meeting, just give staff a little bit of time if you you desire to come and are disabled. And for more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the Metropolitan Planning Organization staff at 887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting material is posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com. Okay, now let's go to the agenda. Item A. Kathleen, would you call a roll and determine a quorum?
Chairperson Desjardins.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Foltz.
Here.
Member Aldean.
Here.
Member Carpenter.
Here.
Member Kroll. Member Fierro.
Here.
Member Mallory.
Here.
Ex officio Member Taylor.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Okay, thank you. Next, item B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. And I just wanted to add again that PAMPO meets the second Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m. in the same location. Next item on the agenda for possible action is approval of our October minutes. Does anyone have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes from the October meeting as presented.
Second.
Mr. Carpenter seconds. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, minutes are approved.
Abstain.
Mr. Fiera is, and I probably should, and I intended to do that, introduce Mr. Fiera, who is, this is his first meeting, and his first month as a member of CAMPO, representing Lyon County. As we mentioned at the last month, Mr. Eschwein has retired from Lyon County, and Mr. Fiera, who is a supervisor, or a commissioner, rather, same thing, of Lyon County, will be serving on the CAMPO board. Now, for agenda management notice, items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussions relating to an item on the agenda. Patrick, you have any
no changes from staff.
Okay, good. Okay, let's move on to item E, disclosures. Any member of the Metropolitan Planning Organization that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO, please provide that information. Anybody have any disclosures? Okay, I see none. And so item E, disclosures, is fulfilled. Next, we're going to public meeting items under F1. We have information on the status of the update to the CAMPO Travel Demand Model and 2035 Regional Transportation Plan. Again, this is a item of information. It's not an action item. So with that, I will turn it over to Patrick.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The development of a regional transportation plan is required every several years of every metropolitan planning organization. This right now is our time to be updating the regional transportation plan. Coincidentally, I think this is the first time maybe ever that all of the MPOs in the state are doing this simultaneously, as well as NDOT is undertaking a long-range planning effort called Connecting Nevada. And so it's an opportune time for us to be able to work with our colleagues, both at Washoe RTC and the Tahoe MPO, because they're close to us, but also even with Southern Nevada RTC when we look at different planning methods, financial forecasting and the like, and as well with NDOT. And we have had several meetings on this subject. We have another one scheduled for next week on financial forecasting. What we have distributed today is some of the results of the travel demand modeling. Our primary contract that we had with a consultant for this effort was specifically for the travel demand modeling effort. And in this case, sometimes we do minor updates. In this case, it was a very significant update for us. Added a substantial portion of land in Lyon County for the new expanded metropolitan planning area boundary, which was certainly something different for us. And of course, we updated all of the land use base information, population information, took a look at new forecasts of population and land use. And we have, of course, moved the planning horizon year out to 2035, which is also consistent with our other plan horizons of our neighboring planning agencies. So what you have is some results from the modeling, which because of our need to make use of the federal funds available, we actually have put the modeling in front of some of the other work tasks, and now we actually have some results to share with you. And I'm going to show you the results that are in your packets. And if anybody in the audience needs, would like to see maps, our staff has another copy if anybody would like one. And they're available to the public at any time, both online and any other method that anybody would like to pick one up. The results I'm going to show you are what we're calling the fiscally constrained model. When you develop a regional transportation plan, we are required to show what's called fiscal constraint, which means you have to be able to prove that the funds required to do these projects could be reasonably available within the time allotted, which means that there's also going to be a fiscally unconstrained model, which allows us to include in the plan and model anything that our hearts desire. So we want to make sure that we have the ability to look at what we want to look at, but also constrain ourselves as we are required to do so. So looking at the documents that are included in your packet, there are a total of 5 maps and 2 tables. And the first of the table lists the fiscally constrained improvements that are included in the model that is displayed in the maps. So, for example, the largest improvement that's proposed will be proposed in the regional transportation plan is the completion of the Carson City Freeway. But there are other improvements included as well, such as the completion of the third phase of the Roop Street widening project and the realignment of Snyder Avenue, for example. And so those are the improvements that are included, and the results that we have before you are luckily that earlier this year, as part of the signal timing project and as part of NDOT's data collection effort and as part of this study, we had a very robust set of data to use to validate and calibrate these models. So the first map here is for 2011. This is the base network. Before you go modeling the future, we make sure that our computer simulations can reasonably model the present. So what you have before you shows the volume and level of service of all of the major roads in the street network in the Campo planning area. Just to make sure it's clear, LOS stands for level of service. That's a measurement of congestion. For our analysis, we show in green anything that's level of service A, B, or C, which is an acceptable level with a very low level or non-existent levels of congestion. And then as you get to the other levels of service, D, E, and F, then you can see that there are some areas that even in today's standards are already into level of services D and E. Those are primarily 395 from Fairview South into Douglas County, and small portions of US 50 from the freeway heading east towards Lyon County. I'll stop there and make sure there aren't any questions before I move on. Yes, Member Foltz.
These are the model results which have been correlated to 2010 traffic counts?
Actually, 2011 traffic counts, yes. Now, having said that, when you run a model like this, you validate it back to the traffic counts, but this is a system-wide model. So, for example, the amount of traffic overall is accurate, but an individual segment can be above or below by a few percentage points from the actual count, but it's still a valid model. If you wanted to do analysis on the individual segment, you'd have to do a different layer of modeling, shall we say. But one thing I'll just point out, the general difference in this model and what we're showing is the fact, of course, that since the last time we ran these models, the Carson City Freeway was extended from US 50 down to Fairview Drive. And as can be seen, there are a lot of cars now on the freeway. Results from the modeling, which because of our need to make use of the federal funds available, we actually have put the modeling in front of some of the other work tasks. And now we actually have some results to share with you. And I'm going to show you the results that are in your packets. And if anybody in the audience needs, would like to see maps, our staff has another copy if anybody would like one. And they're available to the public at any time, both online and any other method that anybody would like to pick one up. The results I'm going to show you are what we're calling the fiscally constrained model. When you develop a regional transportation plan, we are required to show what's called fiscal constraint, which means you have to be able to prove that the funds required to do these projects could be reasonably available within the time allotted, which means that there's also going to be a fiscally unconstrained model, which allows us to include in the plan and model anything that our hearts desire. So we want to make sure that we have the ability to look at what we want to look at, but also constrain ourselves as we are required to do so. So looking at the documents that are included in your packet, there are a total of 5 maps and 2 tables. And the first of the table lists the fiscally constrained improvements that are included in the model that is displayed in the maps. So, for example, the largest improvement that's proposed will be proposed in the regional transportation plan is the completion of the Carson City Freeway. But there are other improvements included as well, such as the completion of the third phase of the Roop Street widening project and the realignment of Snyder Avenue, for example. And so those are the improvements that are included. And the results that we have before you are, luckily, earlier this year, as part of the signal timing project and as part of NDOT's data collection effort and as part of this study, we had a very robust set of data to use to validate and calibrate these models. So the first map here is for 2011. This is the base network. Before you go modeling the future, we make sure that our computer simulations can reasonably model the present. So what you have before you shows the volume and level of service of all of the major roads in the street network in the Campo planning area. Just to make sure it's clear, LOS stands for level of service. That's a measurement of congestion. For our analysis, we show in green anything that's level of service A, B, or C, which is an acceptable level with a very low level or non-existent levels of congestion. And then as you get to the other levels of service, D, E, and F, then you can see that there are some areas that even in today's standards are already into level of services D and E. Those are primarily 395 from Fairview South into Douglas County, and small portions of US 50 from the freeway heading east towards Lyon County. I'll stop there and make sure there aren't any questions before I move on. Yes, Member Foltz.
These are the model results which have been correlated to 2010 traffic counts?
Actually, 2011 traffic counts, yes. Now, having said that, when you run a model like this, you validate it back to the traffic counts, but this is a system-wide model. So, for example, the amount of traffic overall is accurate, but an individual segment can be above or below by a few percentage points from the actual count, but it's still a valid model. Okay. If you wanted to do analysis on the individual segment, you'd have to do a different layer of modeling, shall we say. Okay. But one thing I'll just point out, the general difference in this model and what we're showing is the fact, of course, that since the last time we ran these models, the Carson City Freeway was extended from US 50 down to Fairview Drive. And as can be seen, there are a lot of cars now on the freeway and on Fairview Drive. And we have very little portions. There's one little portion on Carson Street that shows up as level service D. But for the most part, There is not any significant congestion present. So I will move on to the next map, and what this is showing, and this is the one that is primarily red, green, a little bit of blue. This shows the difference of traffic between 2011 and 2020. So 9 years from now, we have a midterm horizon. It shows the forecast changes in traffic volumes with those fiscally constrained improvements. And once again, the big one is the completion of the Carson City Freeway, which is assumed to happen by 2020. And as you can see, the completion of the freeway, that's the big blue line, because it's a non-existent road currently, is expected to have substantial impacts when shift of traffic on the other roads of the network. So what you're seeing here is that if the freeway were completed by 2020, you'd be putting approximately 38,000-39,000 cars in that new segment, and even the existing segments increase by about 19,000 vehicles per day, and you get commensurate decreases on the other streets. So all those streets that are shown in green are forecasted to have decreases. So you get, you know, the big ones are 12,000 approximately fewer vehicles on Fairview Drive, about 20,000 fewer vehicles on South Carson Street, and additional decreases in addition to the decreases we've already seen, you have further decreases on Carson Street, for example, in downtown Carson City and on Stewart Street. But you can see that there are other roads that are experiencing increases. Notably, and this isn't really affected by the freeway, I want to point out that South 395 in Douglas County and Carson City continues to increase. US 50 continues to increase in, you know, east of the freeway in both Carson City and Lyon County. And I failed to mention this before, the inset that is contained on this map shows, in the upper left side, shows improvements that NDOT is planning in the Mount House area. And I don't know if Mr. Taylor has any specific dates on when that is planned to be implemented.
I do not.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay. And there are many safety concerns out in Mount House, and improvements have been considered there for some time, but NDOT is definitely moving forward on a project to make significant improvements in Mount House, and that is included here. If you flip to the next page, you see the 2020 forecast traffic volumes, and now you can see a big, thick green line going through Carson City and other increases in traffic volumes. And importantly, you can see that, you know, once that's there, that there isn't a level service D, E, or F on any local roadways. What you have is the congestion is really focused on 50 between Mount House and Carson City, and on 395 heading south out of Carson City or in from Douglas County. And you can see those conditions are worsening from a congestion standpoint. And as Member Taylor is nodding over there, I want to point out that both US 50, the portion of the division of NDOT that Mr. Taylor is in charge of, previously did quarter studies on both US 50 and South 395, and NDOT has recently initiated a scoping study to refresh a look at that 395 heading south there between Douglas County and Carson City, both from a traffic forecasting standpoint and from a safety standpoint. And I don't know what other divisions are involved so far, but but project scoping, of course. So anyway, that's what's being looked at there. Before I move on to 2035, any questions?
Member Aldean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick, I guess my question is, there are other factors other than population increase and improvements to roadways that affect.
And on Fairview Drive, and we have very little portion. There's one little portion on Carson Street that shows up as level service D, but for the most part, there is not any significant congestion present. So I will move on to the next map, and what this is showing, and this is the one that is primarily red, green, a little bit of blue, this shows the difference of traffic between 2011 and 2020. So 9 years from now, we have a midterm horizon. It shows the forecast changes in traffic volumes with those fiscally constrained improvements. And once again, the big one is the completion of the Carson City Freeway, which is assumed to happen by 2020. And as you can see, the completion of the freeway, that's the big blue line because it's a non-existent road currently, is expected to have substantial impacts and shift of traffic on the other roads of the network. So what you're seeing here is that if the freeway were completed by 2020, you'd be putting approximately 38,000-39,000 cars in that new segment, and even the existing segments increase by about 19,000 vehicles per day, and you get commensurate decreases on the other streets. So all those streets that are shown in green are forecasted to have decreases. So you get, you know, the big ones are 12,000 approximately fewer vehicles on Fairview Drive, about 20,000 fewer vehicles on South Carson Street, and additional decreases in addition to the decreases we've already seen, you have further decreases on Carson Street, for example, in downtown Carson City and on Stewart Street. But you can see that there are other roads that are experiencing increases. Notably, and this isn't really affected by the freeway, I want to point out that South 395 in Douglas County and Carson City continues to increase. US 50 continues to increase in east of the freeway in both Carson City and Lyon County. And I failed to mention this before, the inset that is contained on this map shows, in the upper left side, shows improvements that NDOT is planning in the Mount House area. And I don't know if Mr. Taylor has any specific dates on when that is planned to be implemented.
I do not.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay. And there are, these are, there are many safety concerns out in Mount House, and improvements have been considered there for some time, but NDOT is definitely moving forward on a project to make significant improvements in Mount House, and that is included here. If you flip to the next page, you see the 2020 forecast traffic volumes, and now you can see a big, thick green line going through Carson City and other increases in traffic volumes. And importantly, you can see that, you know, once that's there, that there isn't any level service D, E, or F on any local roadways. What you have is the congestion is really focused on 50 between Mount House and Carson City, and on 395 heading south out of Carson City or in from Douglas County, and you can see those conditions are worsening from a congestion standpoint. And as Member Taylor is nodding over there, I want to point out that both US 50, the portion of the division of NDOT that Mr. Taylor is in charge of, previously did quarter studies on both US 50 and South 395, and NDOT has recently initiated a scoping study to refresh a look at that 395 heading south there between Douglas County and Carson City, both from a traffic forecasting standpoint and from a safety standpoint. And I don't know what other divisions are involved so far, but but project scoping, of course. So anyway, that's what's being looked at there. Before I move on to 2035, any questions?
Member Aldean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick, I guess my question is, there are other factors other than population increase and improvements to roadways that affect travel patterns and volumes, like major development projects, for example.
Yes.
Are those factored in to these assumptions?
Well, yes, we have, and of course, you have to make assumptions.
Right.
We have certain parts, the most important answer is that our land use professionals from each county, for example, for Carson City, Lee Plemmel, who you know well, was intimately involved in the land use forecasting for this, and also the population. So when I say land use, everything from the occupancy of industrial and commercial areas to the net acreage, and also on the residential side, multifamily versus single family, because they have different trip generation rates, and also occupancy as well. So they look at those.
If somebody was interested in finding out what assumptions were made,
yes,
where are those available? Are those available online?
Is there model documentation online?
It's not
online yet.
Yeah, we have a draft.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's just a draft.
Staff member Denges was
providing
some.
Yes.
Dan, I think that's important enough. You may want to go to the mic and because in case somebody from the public wants to get that information.
Sure. Dan Denges, Senior Transportation Planner, for the record. Just following up with what Patrick asked, our consultant has provided us with model documentation that really does a good job of detailing all the assumptions in the model. And it's pretty much complete. It's a draft form. There's a few things that needed to be edited, and so we don't have a final, but that will be forthcoming, and that's something that we will have. So,
Patrick, why? Member Aldean, are you through?
Well, no,
I've got a question of Dan. Also.
As a follow-up, I'm looking at our favorite street in town, Northridge. and there is an increase. If you look at the current, I mean, under both scenarios, it's a level of service A through C. But I noticed that one segment jumps from current day, which is 3,600 to 4,100. And I'm assuming that has something to do with the future development of the MAC.
That may very well be the case, but we have to take a look. We do have the ability, and we haven't gone into this amount of detail, but you do have the ability with these models. I used to do this to pick a segment like that and say, what are the trip origins and destinations of the cars that are forecast to be traveling there? So you can actually map out. Of all the cars, where are they forecast to be coming from, origin and destination line? Looks like a tree on either side. So if we really want to do that, we can do that.
Okay. Thanks,
Patrick. Thank you. Hey, Dan, one thing that I'm sure waiting for is the results of the 2010 census, which could, in fact, may or may not have a bearing on this work.
Yeah.
Do we have staff seen even, say, preliminary census information and also the impact that it could have on the boundary of Campo, which Member Fierro and I were just talking about a minute ago?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We did incorporate 2010 census population numbers into the base model, as well as employment estimates that they have. As far as the urbanized area boundary itself, those are not even going to be available until next spring. And so, really, we expect the biggest change to be in the Douglas County side. With the recent expansion of the planning area boundaries out to Dayton, we believe that our current planning area boundaries would account for any change in the urbanized area toward Lyon County. So we're definitely interested, too. But we expect the biggest impact to probably be in Douglas County.
And then how about, since you were talking about Lyon County, anything relative to Minden and Gardnerville area?
No, because currently our model does not extend that far, so we did not incorporate anything. And it's really kind of we're dealing with a big unknown until they do release those urbanized area boundaries. So, and of course, once that does become available, we'll be in talks with Douglas County and setting new planning area boundaries, because ideally you want your planning area boundaries to not only encompass the urbanized area, but, a logical distance beyond that as well.
travel patterns and volumes, like major development projects, for example.
Yes.
Are those factored in to these assumptions?
Well, yes. We have, and of course, you have to make assumptions.
Right.
We have certain parts. The most important answer is that our land use professionals from each county, for example, for Carson City, Lee Plemmel, who you know well, was intimately involved in the land use forecasting for this, and also the population. So when I say land use, everything from the occupancy of industrial and commercial areas to the net acreage, and also on the residential side, multifamily versus single family, because they have different trip generation rates, and also occupancy as well. So they look at those.
If somebody was interested in finding out what assumptions were made,
yes,
where are those available? Are those available online?
Is there model documentation online?
It's not
online yet.
Yeah, we have a draft.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's just a draft.
Our staff member Denges was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Providing some.
Yes.
Dan, I think that's important enough. You may want to go to the mic and because in case somebody from the public wants to get that information.
Sure, Dan Denges, senior transportation planner. For the record, just following up with what Patrick asked, our consultant has provided us with model documentation that really does a good job of detailing all the assumptions in the model, and it's pretty much complete. It's a draft form. There's a few things that needed to be edited, and so we don't have a final, but that will be forthcoming, and that's something that we will have. So,
Patrick, why? Member Aldean, are you through?
Well, no,
I've got a question of Dan also.
As a follow-up, I'm looking at our favorite street in town, Northridge. and there is an increase, if you look at the current, under both scenarios, it's a level of service A through C. But I noticed that one segment jumps from current day, which is 3,600 to 4,100. And I'm assuming that has something to do with the future development of the MAC.
That may very well be the case, but we have to take a look. We do have the ability, and we haven't gone into this amount of detail, but you do have the ability with these models. I used to do this to pick a segment like that and say, what are the trip origins and destinations of the cars that are forecast to be traveling there? So you can actually map out. Of all the cars, where are they forced to cast to be coming from, origin and destination line? Looks like a tree on either side. So if we really want to do that, we can do that.
Okay. Thanks,
Patrick. Thank you. Hey, Dan, one thing that I'm sure waiting for is the results of the 2010 census, which could, in fact, may or may not have a bearing on this work.
Yeah.
Do we have staff seen even, say, preliminary census information, and also the impact that it could have on the boundary of Campo, which Member Fierro and I were just talking about a minute ago.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. We did incorporate 2010 census population numbers into the base model, as well as employment estimates that they have. As far as the urbanized area boundary itself, those are not even going to be available until next spring. And so, really, we expect the biggest change to be in the Douglas County side. With the recent expansion of the planning area boundaries out to Dayton, we believe that our current planning area boundaries would account for any change in the urbanized area toward Lyon County. So we're definitely interested, too. But we expect the biggest impact to probably be in Douglas County.
And then how about, since you were talking about Lyon County, anything relative to Minden and Gardnerville area?
No, because currently our model does not extend that far. So we did not incorporate anything. And it's really kind of we're dealing with a big unknown until they do release those urbanized area boundaries. So, and of course, once that does become available, we'll be in talks with Douglas County and setting new planning area boundaries, because ideally you want your planning area boundaries to not only encompass the urbanized area, but a logical distance beyond that as well.
Any other members have questions or comments? Oh, Member Foltz, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Would it be possible for me to get a copy of the draft for comment before this report is finalized?
Sure, absolutely. And yeah, we're a little ways out before we finalize our transportation, but I can
Just to clarify, you're talking about just the documentation of what went into the model?
Yeah.
We can share that with you at this stage, because we've already worked with, of course, Douglas County staff, you know, when we were building it in the first place.
Right.
So we'd be happy to give it to you.
Okay, Member Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, do you have a breakout of the through trips on the freeway percentage?
Not necessarily. We have by zones, more or less, external zones and internal zones, and then we have it broken down by county. So we don't have it specifically for the freeway corridor. It's probably something we can get, yeah. But right now it's more kind of aggregated zones made up of the traffic analysis zones. I believe there's about 7 areas within the model, and then our external stations as well, which would be on the ends of highways 50 and 395.
I think it'd be fascinating to find out what percentage of people going north-south would not stop at all.
Yeah.
What now?
And a lot of
vis-a-vis what it was before the 2010.
And a lot of the questions you're asking, we're going to be providing that kind of detail in our the transportation plan as it develops. But that's a good question.
Thank you, Dan.
Does anyone else have any questions, comments? Okay, Patrick, you want to go ahead and continue?
Yep, I'll just move on to the next map is the first of the two maps regarding the 2035 model, which is our furthest out horizon year. We're required to go out at least 20 years. So obviously that's 24 at the moment. And you'll notice that there are several more improvements that are included. A few more lines that show up as blue as new roads that we envision could be accomplished in that second 15 years, including the connection between College Parkway and Arrowhead Drive, the Ormsby Boulevard extension. Let's see. And the South Stewart Street extension, for example. And you can see the shifts in traffic. I'll just point out a couple of noteworthy things. That connection that is planned to occur somewhere between 2020 and 2035 between College Parkway and Arrowhead Drive. This is consistent with what we had shown in previous models, that the model shows that there it does envision a demand for that route. It has a, this is 2035, mind you, but it has a forecast volume of over 9,000 vehicles a day. And I want to reiterate that that's not a program project or anything, but it is something that that has been discussed before, and we did model to determine what the demand is. And then the last map at showing 2035 volumes and levels of congestion, level of service, shows indeed there's an overall increase in traffic volumes, and as you can see, the portions that we have a few little spots of congestion that do show up throughout the area, but for the most part the forecast congestion levels continue to be on US 50 between Carson City and Dayton and US 395 from the south end of the freeway south into Douglas County. And yes, that is level of service F for the entire length. And there you can see why NDOT is, once again, taking another look at that. We've discussed this with the freeway project manager, and it's not – the point is that those conditions are forecast to occur regardless of whether or not the freeway is completed. There's not a causation there. It's really forecast to happen over time regardless. So we'll be eager to – see how NDOT proceeds on their current study. And then if I may, the last thing to show you, I guess, is in your packet, the second of two tables lists illustrative improvements, as in not financially provided.
Any other members have questions or comments? Oh, Member Foltz, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Would it be possible for me to get a copy of the draft for comment before this report is finalized?
Sure, absolutely. And yeah, we're a little ways out before we finalize our transportation, but I can
Just to clarify, you're talking about just the documentation of what went into the model?
We
can share that with you at this stage, because we've already worked with, of course, Douglas County staff, you know, when we were building it in the first place, right. So we'd be happy to give it to you.
Okay, Member Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, do you have a breakout of the through trips on the freeway percentage?
Not necessarily on, we have by zones, more or less, external zones and internal zones, and then we have it broken down by county. So we don't have it specifically for the freeway corridor. It's probably something we can get, yeah. But right now it's more kind of aggregated zones made up of the traffic analysis zones. I believe there's about 7 areas within the model, and then our external stations as well, which would be on the ends of highways 50 and 395.
I think it'd be fascinating to find out what percentage of people going north-south would not stop at all.
Yeah.
What now?
And a lot of
vis-a-vis what it was before the 2010.
And a lot of the questions you're asking, we're going to be providing that kind of detail in our the transportation plan as it develops. But that's a good question.
Thank you, Dan.
Does anyone else have any questions, comments? Okay, Patrick, you want to go ahead and continue?
Yep, I'll just move on to the next map is the first of the two maps regarding the 2035 model, which is our furthest out horizon year. We're required to go out at least 20 years. So obviously that's 24 at the moment. And you'll notice that there are several more improvements that are included. A few more lines that show up as blue as new roads that we envision could be accomplished in that second 15 years, including the connection between College Parkway and Arrowhead Drive, the Ormsby Boulevard extension. Let's see. And the South Stewart Street extension, for example. And you can see the shifts in traffic. I'll just point out a couple of noteworthy things. That connection that is planned to occur somewhere between 2020 and 2035 between College Parkway and Arrowhead Drive. This is consistent with what we had shown in previous models, that the model shows that there it does envision a demand for that route. It has a, this is 2035, mind you, but it has a forecast volume of over 9,000 vehicles a day. And I want to reiterate that that's not a program project or anything, but it is something that that has been discussed before, and we did model to determine what the demand is. And then the last map at showing 2035 volumes and levels of congestion, level of service, shows indeed there's an overall increase in traffic volumes, and as you can see, the portions that we have a few little spots of congestion that do show up throughout the area, but for the most part the forecast congestion levels continue to be on US 50 between Carson City and Dayton and US 395 from the south end of the freeway south into Douglas County. And yes, that is level of service F for the entire length. And there you can see why NDOT is once again taking another look at that. We've discussed this with the freeway project manager, and it's not. The point is that those conditions are forecast to occur regardless of whether or not the freeway is completed. There's not a causation there. It's really forecast to happen over time regardless. So we'll be eager to see how NDOT proceeds on their current study. And then if I may, the last thing to show you, I guess, is in your packet, the second of two tables lists illustrative improvements, as in not financially provided for at the moment here. And this list is primarily from the previous version of the regional transportation plan. And we've already looked at it and noted there are some things in there that, for example, some things in the Mound House area that wouldn't be required should NDOT complete its planned improvements out in the Mound House area. And we are looking for input from any members here, from the public, of any improvements that should be modeled as we go forward. Some of the ones we have included here are, for example, the narrowing of Carson Street at some point in the future, to make sure we know what the implications are of that. We've looked at that before, but it's prudent to look at it again with the new model. But if anybody has anything right now, that's fine. Otherwise, we are willing to take comments or requests from anybody to include or exclude any of these projects. And then the last thing I want to mention is that we are scheduling a public meeting. This is not a public meeting like many of the ones we conduct at Campo, where we have a 30-day comment period going on, where there's a formal document under review. This is more of a preliminary public meeting where we invite the public to provide us any comments they wish. If they want to see us look at any sort of bicycle and pedestrian improvements or transit improvements to be included in the long-range plan or road improvements, so we'll have that opportunity as well. We're looking at November 30th right now for that meeting. But that's also just part of the development of the regional transportation plan. So I will stop my presentation there and take any final questions.
Patrick, would that be a time also, in case public members have interest a little bit more in the modeling and some of the assumptions that Dan talked about?
Yes, absolutely. We will take questions about any aspect of the regional transportation plan, any mode, anything that relates.
Does anyone else have any comments? Member Fierro?
Yeah, I was curious when I was looking at the maps. You show Hillview, which is the end of Solomon, opening back up.
Yes, absolutely. What would you like to know?
I'm surprised that you guys are doing that. I think that's an excellent idea, because when I used to live here in Carson and I would ride my bike to work, that's the travel path that I would use, and then it got, you know, blockaded.
Well, actually, it is still currently used, frankly, by many bicyclists and pedestrians. But indeed, it's not used. It's obviously not a road right now, and we believe it will be an important link in the future for local connectivity. But we're not interested in doing it before the freeway opens, because we're concerned that if it's open before the freeway does, it'll actually invite through traffic into that neighborhood and school zone and the like. So it's one of those roads that we believe is a valid connection, but we're just waiting for the freeway to get done.
Okay, so after the freeway.
Yes.
Member Aldine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It isn't identified by name, but in the fiscally constrained 2011-2035 daily model growth, is that connector? It runs north-south. Is that the extension of Ormsby Boulevard, or
yes, that is.
It is.
We left that in the preliminary plan projects. Yes.
Well, I know that. I think that extension wasn't that extension taken into consideration when we were doing our projections with respect to the effects of narrowing Carson Street at some point, and how we would redirect that traffic and handle the increased loads.
Yes, indeed. Last time we did the modeling effort, we did a very detailed look at the impacts of potentially narrowing Carson Street, and yes, that was one of the roads that we looked at for, in addition to Roop and Stewart and Curry, for example, as to what the implications may be. So if we leave that in this, and then we go and model it with Carson Street narrow, we'll be able to see if indeed there's a forecast reduction of traffic on Carson Street, where the traffic shifts to.
Okay, great. Thanks, Patrick.
So, Patrick, are these projections going to
changed drastically the Ormsey Hall at the moment here. And this list is primarily from the previous version of the regional transportation plan. And we've already looked at it and noted there are some things in there that, for example, some things in the Mound House area that wouldn't be required should NDOT complete its planned improvements out in the Mound House area. And we are looking for input from any members here, from the public, of any improvements that should be modeled as we go forward. Some of the ones we have included here are, for example, the narrowing of Carson Street at some point in the future, to make sure we know what the implications are of that. We've looked at that before, but it's prudent to look at it again with the new model. But if anybody has anything right now, that's fine. Otherwise, we are willing to take comments or requests from anybody to include or exclude any of these projects. And then the last thing I want to mention is that we are scheduling a public meeting. This is not a public meeting like many of the ones we conduct at Campo, where we have a 30-day comment period going on, where there's a formal document under review. This is more of a preliminary public meeting where we invite the public to provide us any comments they wish. If they want to see us look at any sort of bicycle and pedestrian improvements or transit improvements to be included in the long-range plan or road improvements, so we'll have that opportunity as well. We're looking at November 30th right now for that meeting. But that's also just part of the development of the regional transportation plan. So I will stop my presentation there and take any final questions.
Patrick, would that be a time also, in case public members have interest a little bit more in the modeling and some of the assumptions that Dan talked about?
Yes, absolutely. We will take questions about any aspect of the regional transportation plan, any mode, anything that relates.
Does anyone else have any comments? Member Fierro?
Yeah, I was curious when I was looking at the maps. You show Hillview, which is the end of Solomon, opening back up.
Yes, absolutely. What would you like to know?
I'm surprised that you guys are doing that. I think that's an excellent idea because when I used to live here in Carson and I would ride my bike to work, that's the travel path that I would use, and then it got blockaded.
Well, actually, it is still currently used, frankly, by many bicyclists and pedestrians. But indeed, it's not used as obviously not a road right now. And we believe it will be an important link in the future for local connectivity. But we're not interested in doing it before the freeway opens, because we're concerned that if it's open before the freeway does, it'll actually invite through traffic into that neighborhood and school zone and the like. So it's one of those roads that we believe is a valid connection, but we're just waiting for the freeway to get done.
Okay, so after the freeway.
Yes.
Thanks.
Member Aldine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It isn't identified by name, but in the fiscally constrained 2011-2035 daily model growth, is that connector? It runs north-south. Is that the extension of Ormsby Boulevard, or
yes, that is.
It is.
We left that in the preliminary plan projects. Yes.
Well, I know that. I think that extension wasn't that extension taken into consideration when we were doing our projections with respect to the effects of narrowing Carson Street at some point, and how we would redirect that traffic and handle the increased loads.
Yes, indeed. Last time we did the modeling effort, we did a very detailed look at the impacts of potentially narrowing Carson Street, and yes, that was one of the roads that we looked at for, in addition to Roop and Stewart and Curry, for example, as to what the implications may be. So if we leave that in this, and then we go and model it with Carson Street narrow, we'll be able to see if indeed there's a forecast reduction of traffic on Carson Street, where the traffic shifts to.
Okay, great. Thanks, Patrick.
So, Patrick, are these
projections going to change drastically that the Ormsey Hotel opens?
I trust that Lee Plemmel, the planning director, has accounted for that.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, anyone from the audience have any questions or comments? I think our audience has left. So, okay, with that, I think that closes item F1. And next, I'd like to go to item F2. And this is an action item, but however, before we hold the vote, I'd like to just open this item. It's to award former chairman Paul Eschwein a certificate of appreciation and gratitude for his service on the Campbell board. And before Paul joins me at the podium, I just want to open up any kind of comments or anything that any of the members have to say on item F2.
Mr. Chairman, I think I made a few comments the last meeting of Campo, expressing my appreciation, personal appreciation for Paul's service, and as I indicated to a few of you before we convened the meeting, Paul is still going to be active as a community servant. He has just been appointed to the Carson City Planning Commission, so we appreciate the fact that even though he's leaving the Campo board, he continues his public service, and we appreciate your active involvement, Paul.
Okay, other members? I'll save my remarks here when I join Paul at the podium. Staff, I believe you have any comments?
Well, I'll just echo others' comments and say that it's been wonderful to work with him and certainly appreciate his representing Lyon County and bringing them into the fold and now we get the model all the way up to Dayton. Right. Thanks to Paul. So thank you very much, sir.
Okay. With that, any other comments? If not,
I have a critical question.
Okay.
And I'll have to defer to our esteemed member of the DA's office, but it doesn't specifically say that in addition to awarding, do we have to take an action to eat cake? Or it is not part.
I will make you solicit comment, like public comment, because it's captioned as an action item, but you can eat cake as much as you want.
Thank you very much.
That's how we get the public members of the public here, right? Cake every time.
Okay, with that, can I have a motion on this item, F2?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I move to award former chairperson Paul Eschwein a certificate of appreciation and gratitude for his service on the Campo board.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay.
2 seconds, Member Foltz and Mallory. All in favor?
Wait, before you vote, please ask for public comment because it's an action item.
Yes.
Thank you. Even though I commented out before, Sabrina, do you have any comments? you're the public here. Okay, with that, let's vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'm sure I have no no's. Okay, with that, I'm going to join Paul at the podium, and it just happens that we do have a nice award for Paul. Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to say, and I did comment as Member Aldean did last month on how Mr. Eschwein kind of plowed new territory, and that was he was the first individual outside of Carson City to serve as a member or as a chairman of Campo. And I'm sure, and it should be recognized in moving up, Member Foltz is now the vice chairman. And I'm sure with Member Fierro, and we
will open. I trust that Lee Plemmel, the planning director, has accounted for that.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, anyone from the audience have any questions or comments? I think our audience has left. So, okay, with that, I think that closes item F1. And next, I'd like to go to item F2. And this is an action item, but however, before we hold the vote, I'd like to just open this item. It's to award former chairman Paul Eschwein a certificate of appreciation and gratitude for his service on the Campbell board. And before Paul joins me at the podium, I just want to open up any kind of comments or anything that any of the members have to say on item F2.
Mr. Chairman, I think I made a few comments at the last meeting of CAMPO, expressing my appreciation, personal appreciation for Paul's service, and as I indicated to a few of you before we convened the meeting, Paul is still going to be active as a community servant. He has just been appointed to the Carson City Planning Commission, so we appreciate the fact that even though he's leaving the CAMPO board, he continues his public service, and we appreciate your active involvement, Paul.
Okay, other members? I'll save my remarks here when I join Paul at the podium. Staff, I believe you have any comments?
Well, I'll just echo others' comments and say that it's been wonderful to work with him and certainly appreciate his representing Lyon County and bringing them into the fold and now we get the model all the way up to Dayton. Right. Thanks to Paul. So thank you very much, sir.
Okay. With that, any other comments? If not,
I have a critical question.
Okay.
And I'll have to defer to our esteemed member of the DA's office, but it doesn't specifically say that in addition to awarding, do we have to take an action to eat cake? Or it is not over. All right.
I will make you solicit comment, like public comment, because it's captioned as an action item, but you can eat cake as much as you want.
Thank you very much.
That's how we get the public members of the public here, right? Cake every time.
Okay, with that, can I have a motion on this item, F2?
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, I move to award former chairperson Paul Eschwein a certificate of appreciation and gratitude for his service on the CAMPO board.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay.
2 seconds, Member Foltz and Mallory. All in favor?
Wait, before you vote, please ask for public comment because it's an action item.
Yes.
Thank you. Even though I commented out before, Sabrina, do you have any comments? You're the public here. Okay, with that, let's vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'm sure I have no no's. Okay, with that, I'm going to join Paul at the podium, and it just happens that we do have a nice award for Paul. Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to say, and I did comment as Member Aldean did last month on how Mr. Eschwein kind of plowed new territory, and that was he was the first individual outside of Carson City to serve as a member or as a chairman of CAMPO. And I'm sure, and it should be recognized in moving up, Member Foltz is now the vice chairman.
And I'm sure with Member Fierro, we look forward to his input. And as I was asking and commenting, who knows what happens when the Census Bureau comes forward. We may have increased boundaries. We may have to adjust members and so on. But, Paul, it's been a real pleasure in serving beside you. And we have a nice certificate of appreciation. It says this certificate is presented to Paul Eschwein in appreciation of devoted services as a member of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board, presented this ninth day of November 2011 at Carson City, Nevada, signed by myself. So here it is. Any comments, Paul?
Do I need to keep it?
I was going to hold on to it while you talked.
I don't really have any comments. I think that Lyon County is in a good position now to actively participate in transportation decisions in the Carson area Metropolitan Planning Organization area. I think Ray is going to do a great job. He's always been very active. He was on the Planning Commission for a number of years while I was there. And he has been a very strong member of the Planning Commission and of the Board of Commissioners in his short time here.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you and get your input. Please don't be absent. Although now being a member of the Planning Commission, that's going to help greatly, and I'm sure you'll think of us as you're doing that.
I pushed it and it didn't work. Now it goes. Thank you. Okay. With that, we've got a few more things, and hopefully everybody will stay. We have some refreshments after the convening of the Campo Board. With that, let's see, what do we have? Okay, future agenda items, G1, any future agenda items for members of the board? Okay, and staff?
We will have
Go ahead, Captain.
We'll have a new planning agreement with NDOT, which is actually just an interim while we still work on the one going forward. We'll have an update for you, as promised, on the traffic signal coordination effort, which is still a work in progress as we speak. And I'll just give you a heads up that we're at this time of the year, and we finished out the last year for our finances. We will be sending out the invoices to the three member counties. The good news is that the total this year was down from last year. And we also had a credit from last year. So the total, instead of being about $30,000 among three counties, is about $20,000 for this fiscal year. So you can expect a bill in the mail, once a year bill, as well. Douglas and Carson. That's it.
Member Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick, you covered the agenda item that I was interested in for the next meeting, which is the traffic signal optimization study. Thanks.
Member Aldean.
Well, I thought while we have Dennis here, he could comment on the progress or lack thereof of the passage of the new surface transportation bill, amply made MAP 21, as I understand. That's the acronym for Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century. And as usual, it appears that the two biggest hurdles are length, duration, and cost.
Absolutely correct. They keep going back and forth. I was just talking to Patrick this morning, and I guess he watched the congressional hearing. It is still uncertain at this point, Mr. Chairman and Shelley, as to exactly what. But what we're hoping is that, I mean, some of the rumors say that we are going to be funded as we have been in past years, as opposed to the anticipated $34 million cut that we thought we'd definitely take, but we don't know for sure whether or not we are, in fact, going to be funded as in past years. But there is a lot of talk about combining programs. Right now, there's some 52 different federal categories that we get money from 22 of those are what we call above the line or are subject to obligation limitation. They're talking about taking those obligations.
Forward to his input, and as I was asking and commenting, who knows what happens when the Census Bureau comes forward. We may have increased boundaries. We may have to adjust members and so on. But, Paul, it's been a real pleasure in serving beside you, and we have a nice certificate of appreciation. It says this certificate is presented to Paul Eschwein in appreciation of devoted services as a member of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board, presented this ninth day of November 2011 at Carson City, Nevada, signed by myself. So here it is. Any comments, Paul?
Do I need to keep it?
I was going to hold on to it while you talked.
I don't really have any comments. I think that Lyon County is in a good position now to actively participate in transportation decisions in the Carson area Metropolitan Planning Organization area. I think Ray's going to do a great job. He's always been very active. He was on the Planning Commission for a number of years while I was there, and he has been a very strong member of the Planning Commission and of the Board of Commissioners in his short time here.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you and get your input. Please don't be absent. Although now being a member of the Planning Commission, that's going to help greatly, and I'm sure you'll think of us as you're doing that.
I pushed it and it didn't work. Now it goes. Thank you. Okay. With that, we've got a few more things, and hopefully everybody will stay. We have some refreshments after the convening of the Campbell Board. With that, let's see, what do we have? Okay, future agenda items, G1. Any future agenda items for members of the board? Okay, and staff?
We will have a, oh, yeah.
Go ahead,
Captain. We'll have a new planning agreement with NDOT, which is actually just an interim while we still work on the one going forward. We'll have an update for you as promised on the traffic signal coordination effort, which is still a work in progress as we speak. And I'll just give you a heads up that we're at this time of the year and we finished out the last year for our finances. We will be sending out the invoices to the three member counties. The good news is that the total this year was down from last year. And we also had a credit from last year. So the total, instead of being about $30,000 among three counties, is about $20,000 for this fiscal year. So you can expect a bill in the mail, once a year bill, as well, Douglas and Carson. That's it.
Member Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick, you covered the agenda item that I was interested in for the next meeting, which is the traffic signal optimization study. Thanks.
Member Aldean.
Well, I thought while we have Dennis here, he could comment on the progress or lack thereof of the passage of the new surface transportation bill, amply made MAP 21, as I understand. That's the acronym for Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century. And as usual, it appears that the two biggest hurdles are length, duration, and cost.
Absolutely correct. They keep going back and forth. I was just talking to Patrick this morning, and I guess he watched the congressional hearing. It is still uncertain at this point, Mr. Chairman and Shelley, as to exactly what. But what we're hoping is that, I mean, some of the rumors say that we are going to be funded as we have been in past years, as opposed to the anticipated $34 million cut that we thought we'd definitely take, but we don't know for sure whether or not we are, in fact, going to be funded as in past years. But there is a lot of talk about combining programs. Right now, there's some 52 different federal categories that we get money from 22 of those are what we call above the line or are subject to obligation limitation. They're talking about taking those obligation limitation 22 elements and combining them into five. So we don't know the implications of that for sure. There has been talk about getting rid of the bicycle pedestrian programs, reorganize metropolitan planning organizations. So at this time, it is still very, very, very uncertain. We do have a continuing resolution through March 31st, but that's a good thing. So, but that's only half of what we anticipate. So we don't know. It's just wait and see.
Dennis, I had heard that you'd mentioned the consolidation, proposed consolidation of programs, but they're also talking, which I think is a good thing, about increased flexibility for states with respect to how to spend the funds they receive and streamlining
projects. They are talking about that, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Haldane, one of the things that, you know, we've heard that, you know, along with that flexibility, that's one of the reasons they're talking about eliminating the programs from 22 down to 5, because the way that they will be grouping those, it won't be, right now it's specific, for example, bicycle pedestrian enhancement. You know, what they would do here is they put some generic language in there that would cover those categories, and in essence, we could stand to have more money for various programs than we do now because of that flexibility. But again, we, you know, 3 months ago we saw something else, and now we see MAP 21, and then we contact our Washington consultants, and we hear this, and we hear that, and then you go to Nevada News Daily that we get, and or Politico, and, you know, and it's just, it runs the gamut right now. We're still very uncertain where we're at.
Still within target. Okay. Thanks, Dennis.
Okay, thank you. I guess that completes item G1. Next, let's go to H on the agenda. And again, public comment. Even though we're kind of sparse on the public, I will read this item. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. And before I call for an adjournment, when we do adjourn, we will have some refreshments in honor of Paul's service. And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to ask you to consider the RTC agenda is
it's really short. I was going to suggest that maybe if the members of
do
the
it after
don't
do it
mind
after.
Waiting a few minutes, we can get through this agenda very quickly.
Okay, great. Okay. So then I will go to item I for possible adjournment. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Second.
Don't even go to
talked to him before,
and
he said. said something about next spring. Her lead instructor was really a deep guy. And so, actually, and he spent like 10 years in the Air Force.
Limitation 22 elements in combining them into five. So we don't know the implications of that for sure. There has been talk about getting rid of the bicycle pedestrian programs, reorganize Metropolitan Planning Organization. So at this time, it is still very, very, very uncertain. We do have a continuing resolution through March 31st, but that's a good thing. So, but that's only half of what we anticipate. So we don't know. It's just wait and see.
Dennis, I had heard that you'd mentioned the consolidation, proposed consolidation of programs, but they're also talking, which I think is a good thing, about increased flexibility for states with respect to how to spend the funds they receive and streamlining
projects. They are talking about that, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Haldeen, one of the things that, you know, we've heard that, you know, along with that flexibility, that's one of the reasons they're talking about eliminating the programs from 22 down to 5, because the way that they will be grouping those, it won't be, right now it's specific. For example, bicycle pedestrian enhancement. You know, what they would do here is they put some generic language in there that would cover those categories, and in essence, we could stand to have more money for various programs than we do now because of that flexibility. But again, we, you know, 3 months ago we saw something else, and now we see MAP 21, and then we contact our Washington consultants and we hear this and we hear that, and then you go to Nevada News Daily that we get, and or Politico, and you know, and it's just, it runs the gamut right now. We're still very uncertain where we're at.
Okay, thank you. I guess that completes item G1. Next, let's go to H on the agenda. And again, public comment. Even though we're kind of sparse on the public, I will read this item. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. And before I call for an adjournment, when we do adjourn, we will have some refreshments in honor of Paul's service. And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to ask you to consider, the RTC agenda is
it's really short.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest that maybe if the members of
do
the
it after
don't
do it
mind
after
waiting a few minutes, we can get through this agenda very quickly.
Okay, great. Okay. So then I will go to item I for possible adjournment. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Second.
Don't even go to talked to him before, and He said something about next spring. Her lead instructor was really a deep guy. And so, actually, and he spent like 10 years in the Air Force.
Chairperson Alvin.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Cole. Commissioner Deschardins.
Here.
Coroner's President.
And the mayor has an excused absence, just for the record. Moving on to the next item, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Regional Transportation Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please see me after the meeting, and I'll make arrangements to have your item agendized for a future RTC meeting. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, move on to approval of the minutes. We have one set of minutes dated October 12, 2011. Are there any comments, suggested changes, amendments, additions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Madam Chair, unless Madam Chair has any changes, I move to approve.
Thank you.
As submitted.
Second.
I don't. Kathy, you did a wonderful job. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Any changes to the agenda? Staff?
Nope, not from us.
Okay. Any suggested changes by members of the commission? If not, we'll move on to the next item, which is disclosure. Does any member of the commission wish to explain any contact with the public regarding any item on this evening's agenda or any other business of the commission? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There are four items on the consent agenda. Does any member of the commission or any member of the public wish to have any of these items removed and heard separately? All right. Seeing none, would somebody care to make a motion to
Madam Chair, I move that items F1 and F4 within the consent agenda are approved as presented.
Okay. There's a motion to approve the consent agenda consisting of items F1, F2, F3, and F4. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. It was a busy agenda this month. Okay, moving on to internal communications and administrative matters. We have a street operations report dated October of 2011. Are there any questions regarding the report from either members of the commission or members of the public? All right. The streets crew, as usual, are doing a wonderful job. Moving on to item G2, which is the project status report. We have Darren here. If you have any questions regarding any of the items on the report. I had just one question, Darren. I know that, you know, we haven't, it's not programmed. The Stewart Street extension to Curry Street, I know it has some inherent issues and some potential complications, but my understanding is that we're working with some Forest Service personnel who seem to be more amenable to the idea than their predecessors. Is there any reason why we can't at least negotiate a preliminary agreement with the Forest Service while we have people in office who are responsive?
The short answer to that is we are not entirely sure about that connection at this point. And basically it comes down to modeling and the freeway and what that is doing to our traffic and whether or not we ultimately need it. So without being 100% sure, we've opened up discussions with them, but we did not proceed just because we don't feel like we're sure. I was there and they are willing to talk to us, but by no impression did I get the feeling that they're ready to sign or go through. I mean, they listened to us and they were aware, but certainly had concerns.
I was thinking more of a conceptual approval. Obviously, we have no plans for them to review,
right,
you know, and approve. But rather than a formal approval, I was just hoping that we could kind of have a meeting of the minds and have them at least commit in writing to give this serious consideration, you know, as long as their concerns are addressed. It might be something that it might be helpful to have that in the file.
Okay.
If based on future modeling we decide that this is a connection that we need to create in order to reduce traffic on Carson Street.
We'll open the door to communication.
Okay,
again.
That would be great. Thank you. Any other questions regarding the project status report from members of the commission? Any questions from members of the audience? Seeing none, we'll move on to item G3, future agenda items. Patrick?
We expect to have a couple more contract closeouts. An update on the, let's see, non-motorized multi-use